Coaches, I wanted to take a quick minute before we jump into today's episode to remind you about the power of our Green Team Framework. Now, if you're a coach who's been with us for many years, you know how powerful the Green Team is. And for all those that are new, you need to take advantage of it starting today. In fact, we guarantee that within 30 days, you will have more committed, consistent, and competitive athletes in your program once you implement the 7 parts of the Green Team Framework. It's a leadership framework that, as one of our coaches in St. Louis said, is like leadership cheat code. It's as if we figured out all the right buttons to push to get your players to level up. So, coach, if you haven't gotten started with Lead 'Em Up, get involved today and start taking advantage of the leadership framework, the Green Team Framework that will transform your program. And if you're already in Lead 'Em Up, you know the power of the Green Team. We just want to encourage you, keep building your Green Team. Keep going deeper. Keep reaping the benefits. Hey, listen, make sure you're building your Green Team. But in the meantime, enjoy today's episode. You're listening to the Lead 'Em Up podcast, powered by Chick-fil-A. Thank you for hanging in. I'm Adam alongside Kyle. And today, Kyle, we're going to talk about how culture attracts. And when you build the culture, the gravitational magnetic pull that it produces is so incredible. And I tell you what inspired this episode here today. I am very excited about this because it has been a long time since I can say with excitement that I am a Washington football fan. I'm slowly embracing the Commander's name. Obviously, it took me a long time to get to that place, but we never really had a great product to even be excited about. In fact, keep in mind, for those that know my story, I mean, back in 2009, I started a Redskins radio show. We were calling ourselves the Ball Hogs. We would broadcast live. That launched into a whole DC sports radio network. I was introduced to my wedding, into the wedding reception, to Hail to the Redskins. It's on YouTube. You can go watch it. The place was crazy. We had like 300 people at my wedding. Everyone's cheering, Hail to the, right? I mean, it was incredible. I say all that to say, man, I was in. I mean, I've been a big fan. Over the last 6 to 8 years, it has been disastrous. Ownership issues, losing, drama, finger pointing, botching draft picks, damaging development of players. You know, it's just been the most toxic. And obviously a new owner gets bought out, unprecedented, where an owner gets like basically ostracized from a league, you know.
Doesn't happen often.
I mean, it's just been miserable. And, you know, we get this new ownership group. Year one, ownership comes in and they really feel everything out, which I appreciate that now looking back. They didn't come in and like immediately start making wholesale changes. They basically let the year play out as just to see what we have, probably to just assess and to evaluate and to really take a methodical approach into putting their stamp on it. So they didn't get rid of the coach when they came in. They didn't get rid of the GM or anything like that. Just felt it all out. They didn't really bring in any new players. And they just realized in their first year that like, it was just more of what we had always experienced. It was just really unhealthy. Like it just blah, meh feeling around the whole organization, around the team. They entered into their second year and they were ready to put their stamp on it. They brought in a new GM, a new coach, and the losing then opened the door to us getting a high draft pick. But when you spend time around this team, the new GM, Adam Peters, came from San Francisco. The new coach, Dan Quinn, who everyone in Dallas on the defensive side loved, he came in, Kyle. And I tell you, all you could hear out of the first few months is, holy smokes, this feels different. this feels different. There's an energy, there's a vibrancy, there's a confidence. Now, everyone on the outside looking in, and maybe even them in, we're still like cautiously optimistic. You know, I mean, we had years of failure. I'm not like, you think I'm jumping in on some preseason feel good?
Cautiously optimistic.
I'm cautiously optimistic. I'm like, listen, hopefully this works. Hopefully. But man, all of a sudden you begin to see different things showing up. You begin to see just the smiles being there. You begin to see a little bit of the joy showing up on the field. You know, you begin to see the energy in locker rooms during little videos and behind the scenes and inside the locker room type little documentaries that they were showing around the team. You watch some preseason games, you see this like jumping around and this spirited effort. It was Luke Kuechly the other day, former Panthers linebacker. He was talking about how he got asked who he thinks coach of the year is. And he said, oh, it's got to be Dan Quinn. Now, one could say, like, all right, we're 7-2 at the time of this recording, complete turnaround. And he said, Dan Quinn, he goes, you know, and he goes, it's not even about the winning. He goes, yeah, the winning's been there, but like, man, I've been watching very closely. He said, I've just been watching very, very closely. And he goes, it's just, it's all the little things that I just see around this team that just feel so good right now. He goes, there's just like an energy and joy that's being discussed. There's a smile. He goes, my former teammate, Frankie Louvu, who's their middle linebacker, is doing all this stuff in the locker room that's just getting them hyped. They seem like they're having fun. Adam Schefter, going into the trade deadline, said, for the first time and since before Dan Snyder took over, I will share the following words. This is what Adam Schefter tweeted.
I saw his tweet on that. Yeah, that was a great tweet and very indicative of what's going on there.
Where he said, free agents are telling their agents they want to go to Washington. Man, I tell you, there's an energy. There's a vibe. I was talking to Travis Scott, one of our certified coaches who you know down in Louisiana.
Yeah.
And he said something very interesting. He goes, he hit me up this week, text me, because we just got the biggest free agent during the trade deadline, or not free agent, but the biggest kind of name that was out there during the trade deadline, a star 4-time Pro Bowl cornerback from the Saints. He lives in Louisiana, so he knows him. And he says, hey, bro, I just want you to know you got a beast. And I said, man, I've heard that. I don't know much about him. I'm excited. He goes, and I got to be honest, man, watching from down here, it looks like, and I love what was said, man, it looks like your boys are playing spirited football.
Yeah.
And really spirited. Man, they're playing with a spirit within. And where does that come from? Man, it comes from the joy that they're experiencing, the fun that they're having and have been having before the winning even got here. Right? Like literally the whole offseason, there seemed this joy. Remember us fans being so jaded, we weren't buying into it because we're like, you need to prove it. But it was this joy and this energy and this fun and this vibrancy that then in turn is causing others to see that we're playing spirited with this spirit. And where does it all come from? Man, it comes from the culture that the leadership has brought in this year. And now look, you get words of people saying, everyone wants to come to us. They want to come to DC. Kyle, culture, when we truly allow it to become a place of flourishment, of intentionality, where we become so conscious of the need to develop it, when you get it right, culture attracts.
Yeah, absolutely. And in the NFL, just because we're talking about this example, the margin for victory is so small in that league to where most games are decided by one score, less than one score. And so you really have to rely on the culture. It's the ultimate separator when it comes to that. And obviously, of course, if you pay attention to football, you know that you guys hit a home run with Jaden Daniels. Like, that dude is a franchise quarterback. He's special. Can't win without him. But as you alluded to, is the leadership that came along in place with maybe the new ownership that's in place, Dan Quinn being a head coach, the OC is Kingsbury, is that right? Mm-hmm. So when you get people like that that are in place where the vision that's casted is special, and then you get to start having fun again, and people enjoy being around each other, there's joy in what they do day in and day out, I think that is the precipice for winning. Because in a league like that, every team is talented. Those are the best of the best across the board, no matter who you're looking at. And culture is the ultimate separator. And, you know, no matter what team it is, I think it's great to see an example like this of a team that hasn't won in a long time that's now winning. And then you're hearing people quickly saying, like, hey, I want to go there because they got something special going on. And I think that speaks to any sport and any athlete, is that at our deepest core, people want to be a part of something bigger than themselves. They want to be a part of something special. They want to have fun. They want to enjoy what they're doing. And, you know, this is a great example of it.
You know what you always hear about when you see like players thriving? And I think we need to make a major word shift today. You ready for this?
Like, yeah.
Hard stop. Let's make a big shift today. You hear this all the time in athletics, especially in the pro space. You see a player thriving, flourishing, and they always point it back to, you ready for the word? Here's what it is. System. Yeah. Oh, they're in the right system. Oh, why is Jane Daniels thriving? He's in the right system. See, he was never in the right system. Oh my gosh, the amount of times I hear the word system, it's always about the system. Oh, you put anyone in that system. Caleb Williams just, you know, he's not in the system that Jane Daniels is in right now. You've heard this many times. System, oh, yeah. Right?
All the time.
Can we today replace system with culture? And yeah. maybe part of it, and I'm not saying it exclusively, because there is still an offensive, putting them in position, right? You got to put your athletes absolutely in position. But could we maybe get to the point where we say, hey, you know, it's not, no, they're not thriving because of their system. No. Maybe they're thriving because of their culture. Because I've seen many, many players go into teams, into organizations that are not healthy. They don't have healthy leadership. They don't have healthy, screw the system. Screw what they're actually running on the court, on the field. They're not even like, man, they're just entered into a toxic environment that doesn't have the levels of professionalism, that doesn't have the level of commitment and fun and enjoyment, where your voice matters and you feel included and empowered. Okay, what about that system? What about the culture? And we always just go and I think it's one of the crux of people that just don't get culture and don't understand it, more often than not because they haven't experienced thriving ones in their life. They just go to the system because that's more of what you can see.
Hello, this is Kevin Williams from Chick-fil-A and author of Irrational Kindness. And this is today's Leadership Nugget. I love the word wabi-sabi. It is a Japanese word that describes appreciating beauty that is imperfect and beauty of incomplete. And that's me. It's like seeing a distressed piece of wood and seeing how wonderful that wood would look in a home. It actually can cost significantly more than a new piece of wood. You see, it reminds me the hard job you're in, the challenge you're facing, the fear you're feeling, the next step you're nervous to take because you might fail, that is beautiful. That mess up I just had, it's like a work of art. Maybe one I don't want to recreate, but a work of art because I learned a ton. When I become grateful for these challenges and failures, they propel me forward. Now, let's jump back to the episode.
Yeah, that's the easy answer there. I mean, look at the end.
I can watch 4:00, you know, the game at 4:25, and I see the system. It's harder to see the culture, and that's not what we're as privy to. But screw the system. In fact, if you had to actually do a poll, where does it rank? Culture, system? Like, yeah, you need them, have them in the right system. You got a running quarterback, you know, let's put them in the right system and all that. But, you know, I'm looking at a Jaden Daniels right now, and all of a sudden, you know, there's talk about, man, so much credit, rightly so, to Cliff Kingsbury and his system. And once again, we're talking about the Commanders and football, but like, this applies to where you're at. Now, no matter where you're at, coaches, right? This applies. We're just using this as an example. But, you know, all of a sudden you say, okay, everyone's like, oh, they just got him in the perfect system. He's thriving because he's just in the best system for him. Well, okay, there is part of that. But, I mean, have you watched any interviews? Let me just fill you in. Do you know if you ask Bobby Wagner and Frankie Louvu, who we've brought in on big veteran free agents, both of them sharing how Jaden's there at like 5 a.m. before everybody. And when Jaden got asked about it, right, he just said, you know, just, man, the vibe and the building is just so good. I want to be here. Oh, really?
Yeah, that's a great indicator. That's a great comment right there. It's like someone wants to, yeah.
You know, and that all of a sudden they go and they bring in Marcus Mariota, really mature professional, who is kind of creating a professional standard in that quarterback room to help him understand what it looks like. All of a sudden, but you know, you go back to Shannon Sharp interviews Johnny Manziel. He comes in to the Cleveland Browns, and he shared for about 20 minutes how tense the quarterback room was, how Brian Hoyer would almost kind of talk about him because Brian Hoyer had some feelings that they drafted Manziel or Hoyer wanted to start and there wasn't really a healthy vibe. And that led Manziel to actually wanting to get out of there quicker each day, giving less, not going above and beyond, right? And all of a sudden it led to him being disengaged, rather more engaged, which then fueled and opened the door for more problematic behaviors in Manziel. Maybe he didn't thrive because of the system, or maybe he didn't thrive because the culture was so unhealthy.
Yeah, I can go 100% with the culture on that for sure. I mean, there's so many different examples you can point to. And like, you look at talented teams, super teams in the NBA that, you know, systems were great, players were great, but culture couldn't support that. And even for our coaches that, you know, obviously we predominantly don't have a professional coaches audience and we're looking at high school and collegiate coaches. But, you know, I think going back to that quote that you shared a minute ago is the simple question we can ask ourselves is like, is our culture in a healthy spot? Is do our players want to be here when they don't have to be here? Are they showing up to practice early? Are they staying a little bit later? You know, does it mean something? I think always would look at like the end of the season as a great barometer of success is someone's always going to lose. And there's only one team gets to win their last game. But when that loss happens, whenever it happens for your season, is it crushing? And I would say that you want it to be crushing. You want it to hurt. And you want it to move you to tears, because if you did, then you probably maximized what you could have got out of that year's team, because it meant so much to everyone involved that they wanted to be there and they didn't want the season to end. And, you know, I think that's a great thing. Like in the Lead 'Em Up curriculum, you can point to is the slippery stone exercise and get that point in the season where you're sharing with your team, okay, we have this many days left. What can we do to extend that? What can we do to put more marbles in the jar? And like, just bottom line question, do you like being here? Do you want to be here? That Jaden Daniels quote, I think, goes a long way of just like why they're having the success that they are and why the culture is the way that it is.
And I think you can actually look at this dynamic here because, I mean, it was not that long ago where we drafted a quarterback. And just so you know, up here in D.C., Kyle, I mean, the whole first couple of months of drafting Jaden Daniels, all it was discussed was like, is this going to be RG3 part two?
Yeah, right? I heard that on a few of the national shows.
Oh, I mean, that's what everyone in D.C., because once again, we're jaded. We assume the worst is going to happen to our team. They both were second round picks, super talented quarterbacks that we put a lot of hope in, and wasn't going to play out. So think about this. I actually think this speaks to the culture dynamic and how the culture is the attractor and the differentiator. RG3 came in and had a great system. It was Kyle Shanahan's system. That's what he started in. And his rookie year had fantastic results. But what was interesting, so there you think the system was strong and where it needed to be. But the irony of it, Kyle, the culture couldn't support it. Because the moment, so there you're like, okay, let's go back to RG3, Robert Griffin III. Oh, he got drafted into a team with the great system, the perfect system for him. He won Rookie of the Year.
Yeah.
But what happened was the culture wasn't strong enough that the moment they started facing some adversity in it, the moment things started getting a little rocky, injury came about, when should he return? What is the owner saying? And the owner's not aligned with the coach. And some people are reporting that the coach wants the backup quarterback and there's no communication and there's no transparency. All of a sudden, it creates these little divisions and wedges. And then all of a sudden, you know, the Robert Griffin's the third's dad is getting involved and he's speaking to the media, like saying, my son doesn't want to run anymore. You know, he just is a drop back quarterback and you're going to hurt. Also, all the toxicness of the culture began to override everything. The culture overrode everything. And before you know it, it falls apart, literally blows up in everyone's face. Right. I mean, we had, you don't know this, but this may actually feel like an episode very much regarding Washington here. Have you ever seen the graphic of who was on our coaching staff when RG3 came in?
Oh, it was like McVay was on there, LaFleur and McDaniels. It's like the whole coaching tree. Like you had probably like six current NFL head coaches on that staff, probably.
We were literally the stacked house of young coaching town. We had, like you said, McVay, LaFleur, Green Bay. We had O'Connell in Minnesota.
I didn't know about him.
We had Kyle Shanahan, obviously.
Right.
So all of a sudden you had the system, but it was embedded in this toxic culture, right? Of just Dan Snyder and Bruce Allen and just unhealthiness, toxic all throughout, man, all throughout. That none of it, despite having the best young coaches and a great system, none of it could flourish. None of it could flourish. Because it was restrained by the walls of an unhealthy culture.
Yeah.
But on the flip side, when you get the culture right, it allows the system to be expanded. And in fact, it becomes the attraction, not the system. The culture becomes the attraction. And then all of a sudden you get to a place where people are knocking on the door. Hey, I want to come in. Hey, how do I get to be a part of this? And it is the culture that is the driver. And we just recorded an episode, What Comes First?
Yeah, right. Yeah, that's up in the queue. One of the last or most frequent episodes. And I think this is a great indicator that it's obviously culture comes first. It has to come first.
Once again, the winning wasn't even there. Wasn't even an option. In fact, what did we do week one? The Commanders. 7-2. One of our two losses was week one.
Played my Tampa Bay Bucks, but you could tell that they were not going to be a doormat in that game. Like you knew that there was a different team because there had been years when I've watched that team play the Bucks in previous years. But yeah, you're right. There's early on there was indicators of what was going on there that it was a different team, even with a rookie quarterback.
But it's the point of it wasn't the wins that started it because we lost our first game.
They were 0-1.
We lost our first game. Went on the road. We lost
two touchdowns.
It. It's not like we came out the season just like we put a 45 on Tampa and just blew it away and just created this incredible, you know, snowball effect. No, not at all. Not at all. And then next week went to Arizona and won a game. I mean, it wasn't even like amazing, right? But it's been the culture that's been driving it. I think it actually is the answer to the episode we wrestled with a couple of weeks ago. It is the culture that produces the winning. But when you are able to put wins on top of a great culture, watch out now. Lights out.
That's what makes it all. I mean, that ultimately, that's what special is, right? And that's what we're always talking about. And that's the euphoric feeling in sports that we're always after, is when you have a great culture and you get to experience winning. But you don't get to that, because you can win and you can be miserable. Like, you're going to win a few games here and there and you can be miserable. But when you have the great culture, that's what you want to celebrate. And it's, you know, like, you, it's almost like, yeah, it's great we won, but you're just happy to be around those people.
Oh, it's so good. It's fun to be a fan again. It's but
yeah,
just, hey, it's fun to be a fan of a team with a great culture.
It is. It 100% is. That's why you do it. That's why you follow the games.
It. Yeah, you can feel it. And you also have hope that there's sustainability with it because of it. So, hey, appreciate you, Kyle. As always, on behalf of the entire Lead 'Em Up team, I am Adam. He is Kyle. Until next time, coaches, have fun and lead 'em up.